you been to the Fort Worth Stock Show? Did you know it's going on right now? It's also called the Fort Worth Rodeo.
I haven't been yet, but I'm going to.
You haven't been. I was going to say, I have what I call one of the most incredible cowgirls in Texas, maybe in the whole United States. I'm not sure. I watched all the stuff that she can do. It is amazing. Her name is Sarah Taylor Murphy. You haven't been to the rodeo yet, the stock show?
No, not yet.
Because you were at the world's greatest horsewomen's competition.
Yes.
And so, I'm sorry, you were a little busy.
Yes, I just got back from a trip to Arizona.
And was that amazing?
It was. It was a great event that they're putting on out there. It showcases women, ranching, cowgirls, and what they have to do with the industry. Yeah, it was really cool.
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of rodeos, and I grew up going to rodeos and stock shows and horses, and I've seen a lot of horse women. I've seen a lot of what we might call cowgirls. Not too many cowgirls, because you're a real cowgirl. I mean, like, you have cattle and you brand and you have your horses and you train them and show them and sell them.
Yes, I train rein cow horses, cutting horses, and team roping horses, and then also use those for ranch work.
So who is Sarah Taylor Murphy? I actually ran into her. It's funny how the Holy Spirit works. I was at Starbucks, and I saw this cowgirl walk by completely decked out in chaps, you name it, and spurs. No, you didn't have your chaps on. You just had jeans and spurs. She had her spurs. Small spurs, but she had her spurs. And I knew she was a cowgirl. And you were on your way to the Fort Worth Stock Show last year.
Yeah. I actually had been branding some calves, and I was showing up there during the stock show. So I was headed up there for that.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I just felt like I need to go talk to her. I need to go talk to her. My husband's like, you're just going to walk up to her. You went around the corner to your trailer, and there was this long horse trailer with all these horses. And you had your cow dog. It was an Australian Shepherd,
yep.
Right? He cracked me up. I thought, what? Look at that. And then I kind of scared you walking out. But I was so glad I did. Now, when I was telling Sarah I wanted her on the show, she said, well, you might want to interview my dad. And I'm like, no, I want to interview you. She goes, well, everybody wants to interview my dad. And I'm like, who's your dad? And you said,
it's Michael Martin Murphy.
And I was like, you're such a liar. No. But when I think of Michael Martin Murphy, I think of horses, because I think of the song Wildfire.
Yeah.
And that was about a horse, right?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, he wrote that song about a dream he actually had. And, this dream inspired the song, and some listeners might know the hit Wildfire. It was a really big hit, really back in the 70s, I guess. And my dad is focused on cowboy music for, since the early 90s, and... Yeah, he's a great singer and a great, you know, voice for Western heritage all over the United States, and he's known worldwide, so he's a great man.
I did not know how much he does around here for charities and, like, Northwest Independent School District. The school district does all these fundraisers. I had no idea. I just was kind of blown away by that. Well, when my kids were young, and it was not in the 70s, okay, it was, like, 90s, their dad would sing that song sometimes, and it would just crack us up, because he would go, Wildflower, he'd sing it, and they'd be like, Dad, it's not Wildflower, it's Wildfire.
Yeah.
And so the minute I told them who your dad was, my kids were like, no way.
Yeah.
They just remember their dad, who's passed away. He would sing that song a lot, but he was kidding around about the Wildflower. Yeah, because he knew it would just be like, yeah. So that's really cool. So, but he raised you on a ranch?
Yeah, you know, we had a property in New Mexico, and he plays up there in the summers still. And we also had a horse training place that we, had horses and cattle, and grew up riding and around cattle and working local ranches, and it's amazing.
So you also live in, your Facebook says you live somewhere else. It said, like, New Mexico.
Yeah. Yep. So yep. That's where I'm from. Red River, New Mexico.
Oh, and that's where your dad is a lot.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, our family ties are originally here in the Dallas area, but he lives here in Texas part time of the year, and then still goes out there back home to New Mexico all summer. So
yeah, summer.
Yeah,
yeah. Because it's cold in the winter.
Yeah, it's cold up there right now, but the skiing's amazing. The snowmobiling's great. If anyone needs a good vacation with the family, it's just a great town. And
so, where are you?
I live in Lipan, Texas.
Lipan, yeah. Which is west of Weatherford. No, south of. Yep. Where is it?
Pretty much straight south of Weatherford, south a little bit west.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody's moving that way.
Yeah, it's a great location. I mean, it's close to the, it's a reasonable drive from the city, and a lot of the events that I show at are at the Will Rogers Memorial Center here in Fort Worth. So, yeah, it's a close drive to there, and it's horse country.
It's horse country.
Yeah.
You know, it's, everyone wants land now, and they're moving west, and yeah, they're thinking about horses. And I know you were really excited about trying to get people interested in having horses.
Yeah.
And even your horse association. Your association, what's it called?
Yeah, I ride. I mean, I compete with the National Reined Cow Horse Association. So it's the Reined Cow Horse, but it's the NRCHA. You can look up their website and find out more if anyone's interested. There's classes for every single level of rider, and it's a very versatile, extremely versatile, and it's based in ranching, but it's a show horse. I mean, they're very well trained. They're extremely great athletes, and yeah, there's three different events in the during the aged events, which is younger horses. We do cutting, which is known as herd work in our association, but it's pretty much cutting, mm-hmm. and then you do a reining pattern, and then you go down the fence, which is you get one cow turned out with you, and you have to show that you can control that cow. You have to keep them on one end of the arena, and then you have to take them down the wall both directions, and you do that at a pretty high rate of speed. The horses have to run and stop really fast.
And turn really fast. Right.
And then get back up there. The cattle are going quickly. And then you have to bring them out across the middle of the arena and circle them two different directions. So,
well, and the way to be really good at that, the one thing I realized watching all your videos, the way to be really good at that is do it all the time. Because you, on your ranch, you are pulling cattle, cutting cattle, right?
Yep.
Cow pinning, whatever you call that, and separating them and getting them or even branding them. I mean, your horses, I couldn't believe how muscly they, like, they were strong.
Yep. Looking.
There was one that you had that was Palomino color, like just a light tan.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. But that thing was stocky.
Yeah.
I was like, my husband was like, look at the muscles on that horse.
Yeah.
And that's from doing all that work, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, they're conditioned. You know, I mean, we ride them 5 days a week usually, and, you know, some of them 6 days a week, and it's just like any athlete, you know, they're conditioned physically, and they're strong and fit and ready to do the job. They're definitely athletes, and they're very well taken care of. I mean, my horses get their legs iced. There's spas, there's aqua tread things, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff, and they're looked at by the vet regularly and very well taken care of.
Well, because you make a living off of this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it isn't just a ranch, right?
Yeah.
It's not just a family ranch.
It yep. is.
You, I mean, you, when you compete, it's pretty amazing. And you make, they had the values each horse. That's what I was looking at, what each horse had made. And
yep.
I'm thinking, okay, well, that would be Sarah if you were riding that horse.
I yeah.
was like, okay. But that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And so living out there, so living in Lipan. Lipan?
Yes, ma'am. Lipan.
What's it like?
Well, you know, it's get up in the morning and feed horses and get to riding, you know. Some days I work cattle, some days I work on just riding, you know, training the horses to, I mean, it's ultimately just a teamwork, you know, to understand them understanding my language and me understanding their language. You know, you're dealing with an animal that, you know, doesn't speak. So it's all about pressure and
How many horses do you have? Like, on your ranch, how many horses do you have?
I've got 16 right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need help. And who else lives out there? Just you? Because there were all these people in the pictures. Every time I saw you doing the team, trying to brand and or separate the cattle on the ranch or work the cattle. Usually there were a lot of different people.
Yeah. So some of those photos are from day work. Like I went and day worked at a really big ranch that was a cow calf operation, and that's not what I have. But yes, there's living on the place. There's four people that live on the place there, and they ride. They all ride as well. And yeah. Have a few horses of their own, but yeah, it's yeah, there's a group of people around to always get the job done.
Yeah, because you need people.
Yeah.
You need people. That's so exciting, right? Yeah,
it's great.
And you love the land.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine, like, living in the city. That would be really tough for me. I've grown up outside with the horses and...
Just looking at all the beauty.
Yeah.
All the trees and the green, and it's just gorgeous being able to look out and see that.
Yes.
So it would be very strange for you to be, like, in a neighborhood.
Yep.
With a yard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah, that would be hard for you, I
think.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I was so amazed about was when you think of Fort Worth, you know, and Dallas. Dallas is more of a city.
Yes.
It's like city life. And Fort Worth is definitely, you know, you see men in suits and their cowboy shoes and their cowboy boots and their hats.
Yep.
Right? So you see a lot of people that work ranches. But then you see a mixture of regular people, too.
Yep.
But when I saw you... You were just decked out, and I thought, you know, like, everything looked real. I could tell. Like, it's not the hat was worn, the shoes were worn, the boots were worn, the jeans were worn. You truly were working.
Yes, ma'am.
And you were on your way to the suck show. You hadn't been there and then come up there.
Yeah, I had actually gotten a call that morning from a friend that needed some help branding some calves, and so I went there and branded a set of calves with them before I went up there to the show, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do at the stock? Are you going to be in the stock show this year at all?
I'm not showing this year. I have a horse show coming up in the middle of February that will be there at the Will Rogers Memorial Center. If anyone's interested in the Rain Cow Horse, they should definitely come up there and watch. It's about a 2.5 week long show. There's a lot of great events going on. The highlighted event is the World's Greatest Horseman, which I'm not actually competing in that. I have a horse in a younger division. But the World's Greatest Horseman's got some really amazing horses in it. And, yeah, it'll be a ticketed event, and everyone should come and watch because it's a very exciting night and some really amazing horses.
So when is it? February?
The finals, I think it's like February 16th this year, that third weekend in February.
And the stock show was over like the second. It'll be over soon.
Yeah.
So get out there, guys, if you haven't gone yet.
Yeah.
And then that follows after that.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. I know a lot of horses that you train and raise. I saw a kid on one of them. You were a little boy. He was so cute. And
yeah.
He was showing it, but you were selling it. You were showing it to sell?
Yeah. The video was just a sale video to show, you know, what that horse can do. And he's great for anybody. He's just awesome individual, and yeah, I wanted that kid to ride him, and he's a good little cowboy, and yeah, he did a great job,
and the horse was beautiful.
Thank you. Yes.
So you'll be doing that, and you know, when we are going to take a break soon, and when we get back, one of the things I want you to share is how, if someone gets land, right, how it will benefit them, even if they only get an acre, right?
Yeah.
How many acres do you have?
The place I live on is about 40 acres.
40 acres.
But, you know, there's plenty of smaller places around that, you know, you can put up a little arena and have a couple of horses and ride.
Mm-hmm.
And, or you can hire somebody like me who rides horses for a living, and you could come out and take lessons and just, like, if you live in the city, come over and ride.
Wow. Okay. Junior, come right back here. Nothing we can do about this.
I think I got unplugged.
But at least they can hear us. You can take your headphones off.
Oh.
We're not going to be able to use them. So, I mean, they look good, though. Look, we don't have to have them. All right.
Yeah, because the power's lightning. So this is the one you were telling me about last year when we put you in. The day we put her into the cage, and she didn't care. She was like, anybody who does this thing with horses, now I know But now I got to face with the story.
Yeah, I was telling him about, I ran into this girl at Starbucks.
She went screaming down the street, get this crazy lady away from me. Where's the gun?
Yeah. Well, and you know, a long time ago, I used to see, not women so much, but I used to see more. Now, if you see the stock show ride down from Ace or whatever, you can see it. But it used to just be a lot more people you would see. Yeah. Not so much now. It's the weirdest thing.
So I was just thrilled that I had you. Yes.
Am I sitting close enough to this?
Oh, yeah.
You can hear good.
Yeah, they're okay. Good.
Okay. Good. We got some really good microphones today. Good. Oh, yeah. Sure. We're going to change seats, I think. No, I guess we're good. Okay, because we don't want to sit up higher if you want. I'm worried that you're not able to be seen. So just try to be seen in that. That'll be good. That'll be great. Oh, yeah, there you go.
I'll sit on this.
I was excited to get my boots on today. I was so thrilled.
Yeah, my girlfriend's daughter's starting to get into the horse thing. So.
Oh, fun.
So yeah. I'm going to try. This one's hard. I'm going to try to just use my wand.
Well, you know, you always got me and my hand signals. Those work. And I can hear it and watch you in there, too. That's why that just got air conditioning in there. It got hot in here.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. But you'll have to. There you go. Almost wore my hat. And then I went off without my hat. I was like,
I don't know if I can with the headphones, though.
You won't need the headphones.
No, you don't need headphones.
I don't.
No, because we don't have sound anymore.
Okay.
But if we did, so it wouldn't even matter if my sound thing was working. That's okay.
It's going out over the air. That's what I concern myself with the most, so you're fine.
Okay.
Okay. So when you start, so kind of, this segment is only, this is a 6-minute segment, right?
Yeah, it's hot.
So it's not that long. Okay. And so I'm so excited you're here.
This is fun. Yeah.
Well, and do people relate Sarah Taylor Murphy to Michael Martin Murphy because you have the three names?
Oh, yeah. I mean
that's typical. Sarah Taylor Murphy, Michael Martin Murphy, right?
Well, I'm actually not a big fan of the name Sarah. So I like throwing the Taylor in there. Yep. It sounds better together.
It does. Yeah. So instead of like, you know, Mary Bob, we got Sarah Taylor.
Yeah.
Sarah Taylor Murphy. Sarah Taylor Murphy. Yeah. Well, because Anne is so short.
I love the name Anne, though.
Everybody says that. Yeah. Well, when I was in French, I was like, can I have like Dominique? And she goes, you want Dominique? Yeah. And she goes, okay, you're Dominique for the French class. I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, why would you want to change your name?
Yeah, beautiful name.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a quick question here about 30 seconds. Well, actually, this is for nice. You've answered all my questions.
So. I have, okay.
How long did it take you to get comfortable getting on a horse from when you were starting?
I was very young. Like, I don't really remember.
So,
Yeah, my parents had me riding since.
So, like, ducks to water, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I wish you repeat that question. That's a good question. I don't have my phone up here. People will be texting me asking questions.
There you go, Ian.
Okay. Welcome back. I am joined by Sarah Taylor Murphy, the cowgirl, the wonderful cowgirl, the Texas cowgirl. She just got back from the world's greatest horsewoman. Is that what they call it?
Yes, ma'am.
Horsewoman competition. Horsewomen competition.
Yes.
In Arizona.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So how did that go for you? Because that's like the world. How'd you do?
I got along really good in the reining and decent in the cutting. I didn't get very much luck down the fence, so. Yeah, it was okay. I didn't do great, but it just wasn't the horse show for me. But it was a good one. Yeah, it was awesome. I'm definitely gonna go again. That was the first time I attended that particular horse show. It's only the third year that they've had it, since it is a event that just showcases women. It's kind of a new one, and Mesa Pate is putting that on. And it's an awesome event. Yeah.
How many women were there? Like hundreds?
Yeah, there was a ranch rodeo. There was a breakaway roping. There were clinics. There were working cattle dog clinics. There were horsemanship clinics. There was arts clinics as far as like leather working and rawhide breeding.
All women?
Songwriting. Yeah, all women were the clinicians. There was a cutting horse clinic as well, and then there was the World's Greatest Horsewoman competition, as well as a horse sale. It was an awesome, yeah, awesome event.
So did your dog get trained there?
No.
I
trained him myself. He's not quite. He's a very good working dog, and he's very handy on the ranch, especially when I'm training cutting horses. He will turn back for me, so... He's very useful, but he's not a show dog. Most of the dogs that were there were trial dogs.
Oh,
yeah. Which a trial, like a show dog trial, would be where a working cow dog, which usually they're border collies or kelpies.
Yeah,
or,
like the sheep dogs. Yeah. Right?
And they go through kind of a course with, you know, sheep or cattle. Most of the ones that I go to are with cattle. And so, because, you know, here in the United States, we mostly ranch with cattle. There's a lot of areas that and people that do ranch sheep, but I'm a cowgirl, so I'm not really around sheep that much. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would be cool. I mean, your dog is beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. He's a big help. Yeah. He's a huge help.
Well, and that's the hard part. If people, like when we moved, we had an equestrian neighborhood and there was like 300 acres. Everybody had in the middle and everybody had like 3 to 5 acres and everybody had their own barn and we had our own horses there. Right. And then you'd go out on the trails to go to house. So my kids went house to house. And so our mountain dog always went before the horses.
Yeah.
And they were fine. It led the way and it was great. But eventually as city people started moving in, they wanted all the dogs to be on leashes, and
sure.
It was just like, okay, well, then the horses weren't as comfortable. They were used to the dog going before them. And the dog always went first. It was it was great. And then if there was anything, the horses were fine. And so I was telling them, but you don't understand the purpose of the dogs, right? There actually are purposes for dogs when you do horses. And people coming in don't know that.
So. Yeah. Especially on the ranching side of it. Yeah. I mean, the dogs are bred to work cows and, you know, they can go gather a pasture by themselves. Some of them can if they're, you know, trained right and started right and they have the desire to work and, yeah.
So we had a question that you just answered for us, but it was on break. And it was, how long did it take you to learn to ride in the saddle, like to be comfortable in the saddle? And that was a good question, and yet you don't remember because you were like 2 or something.
Yeah, I don't remember the first time I rode. I've been riding since the beginning, but I mean, I help people learn to ride a lot.
I do.
Yeah. It's a lot about just having a horse that's, you know, fit for a inexperienced rider.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people just, it's just like riding a bike, you know, you just kind of start slow and then you build speed from there, and it's such a team thing. So as you learn to be in rhythm with the horse, and you know you can start riding better. It just takes practice.
It does take practice.
Yeah.
And when we were looking, when I was a kid, the horses were nothing like this. You know, like I got thrown off.
Sure.
Yeah, it was just one of the horses took off running. My dad was running his horse, and mine just took off running after him. I was little bitty. I don't even know how little I was.
Yeah.
And I ended up falling off and hitting a tree. It didn't hurt me too bad, but like with my kids, I wanted to make sure they had a really good horse. And so I ended up finding a horse, a Connemara, that was a you know, training school horse, basically.
Yeah.
That if they moved at all, the horse would stop. Like if they were almost unbalanced or anything, it was such a great horse. And so I spent a bit of money on that, but it was more important to me that they didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
And they loved it and could really enjoy it instead of being afraid, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was surprised how many people will drug their horses when you go look at them for kids. So you just have to be really careful.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we get back. I want you to talk to women out there, girls. I want you to really get them interested in riding. Okay, stay right here. We'll be right back with Getting Better. The music will start 1 minute in, within the background. And I hear the intro, and I hear the intro of the music, and I know exactly where to start.
Uh-huh.
So, that's okay. We're doing not doing too badly.
The hand signals.
Yeah, I try to follow the. But you know, I'm getting used to his. Like, some people, it was 3, it was 30 instead of 3. He'll do. And they're like, he'll like this. That. Hey, Chris, What does that mean?
30.
That. I was like, what is that? So the first time I had to go out there, I'm like, I don't know what that is. I see he's like 30. Okay. Would be another thing. And so it's really kind of funny. No, because, you know, a lot of people think of that kind of cowboy thing. That's what a cowboy is. They think of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and even riding, you know, most of it in our neighborhood were women riding.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get over that. I was real surprised.
Yeah.
The men sometimes, you know, but mostly the women. A lot of them weren't working.
Yeah.
Right? So they had a lot of time.
Yeah.
But we had play days and rodeos in our neighborhood in our arena. And we did because I did have a cutting horse, but just cow separating, trying to separate the cows from the
sorting.
Cow sorting. It's hilarious. We'd take the horses and go to different places and ride,
mm-hmm.
you know, but just, you know, even completely different places, you know,
mm-hmm.
The grasslands or whatever. But it was still mostly women. And I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
You know? And but when what you're in, it's mostly men.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you love it. So does your sister do the same thing you did?
She's worked on some ranches, but she doesn't show. My whole family's involved in horses, but I'm the only one that shows.
So what did they do? They just enjoy them?
Yeah, pretty much. They raise them. My sister's younger kids, they're in youth rodeo stuff. Yeah.
I just rather listen to her tell the horse stories.
No, I know. It's great. Right? You know, I saw on your Facebook that you had two quotes. Do you remember what they were? Your two quotes that you, your favorite quotes were about, where's my phone? You want to look it up?
I don't remember quotes, but I was thinking about a quote.
Yeah, it was living your life for Christ or something like that. I can't remember what it was. I'll grab my phone. You're like, wait. Hey, I think they look kind of like mama's, but yours is really pretty. Yeah, I was like, oh, because this will be shown tomorrow as well, on Sunday morning. And so, where did I see it? It may have been on your Instagram. Now, do they do that on the Instagram?
Yeah.
Your bad info. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
1 minute.
Thank you. I
appreciate that. Oh, Ashley might be texting me, so if I bail out of here for a moment, I'll be downstairs going to get her.
Okay, no problem.
That's our station horse. I mean, they're got the. I'm kidding. She's a sweetheart.
She is a sweetheart. Okay, where is it? Maybe it was on your Instagram. Would it be on your Instagram? Favorites. Friends. Yeah, you had like favorite quotes.
30 here.
Welcome back. We have the incredible Sarah Taylor Murphy here. And I always say it like that. She says she doesn't like Sarah by itself. So Sarah Taylor Murphy. I asked her if she did that because her dad is Michael Martin Murphy. And she said, no, Sarah Taylor sounds better than Sarah. It does. Especially here in Texas. And probably in New Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that is a cattle, cowgirl, cowboy place too.
It is.
And I don't know if people know that. Like, do you think that people here realize that New Mexico is a big cowgirl, cowboy place?
You know, I think when people think of New Mexico, they think of Santa Fe.
Yes.
And Taos.
Arts and Indians and
yes.
things like that,
yeah,
right? Taos.
For sure.
Skiing. Oh, yeah. 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 But the truth is, incredible place for riding and cattle and everything.
It is.
It's a perfect place for you guys to be.
Yep.
But you love coming back to Texas, so you live in Texas.
I do.
You don't, and then you go to New Mexico. Do you have a separate place in New Mexico? I know your dad does. Do you?
I still have family up there. Yeah, and then my dad, we sold our place a few years back, but he goes up there for the summers. and stays up there in a cabin all summer and plays concerts and with a chuck wagon dinner, and it's awesome.
So he lives here?
Yeah, he lives outside Fort Worth, on the west side of Fort Worth.
So. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And he has horses and he rides.
He does. He has a mare that I keep out at my house, which is actually the daughter of his mare, Miss Wildfire.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Now, what kind of horse is that?
She's a quarter horse. Yeah. She's out of his mare, Miss Wildfire, and then by a horse named Smart Like Juice. So, Smart Like Juice has produced a lot of reiners, and we're kind of breeding that mare and continuing the legacy of his Wildfire, bloodline. And I'm about ready to start one of her babies this year. We can start him as 2-year-old. So
what a great legacy. I'm so glad he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just getting, hey, I love this horse, right?
Yeah.
But to start a line.
Yeah.
A breed line. What a great, because our quarter horse, he was the grandson, is the grandson of Dash for Cash.
Yeah.
Race horse. But he didn't like to dash. No. He liked to lope. He was great for barrels and poles, though.
Yeah.
For the kids, especially, But it's, when you look at the bloodline, right? It's really cool. And I noticed you have bloodlines on your Facebook page or Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, every horse, like the family, legacy has something to do with their instincts to do their job. So, in my sport, they've bred horses to work cattle, and they're reactive to cattle, and they want to stop really hard. And, that's part of the sport that I'm into. There are other sports in the quarter horse breed line, for instance, that is like pleasure bred horses, and those horses are bred to move a certain way and do things a certain way. And then there's, barrel horses, like you said, yours is a Dash for Cash, and Dash for Cash was a racehorse.
Yeah.
And then those horses have been bred to be great barrel horses.
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So how much is it to, one of your horses, like a range? Throw it out there.
Well, currently the market is pretty good, but it completely depends on, if it's already trained, the type of rider that would fit the horse, pretty much the classes that they are kind of eligible to compete in, mm-hmm. as far as the horse and rider are concerned. So, if it's a pro level horse, those horses are really expensive. You can find a horse for a non-professional or an amateur, someone that's learning to show or, whatever, for a little bit less. So it varies a lot. Anywhere from, $20,000 to $250,000 or more.
And that's not $20, that's $20,000, right?
Yes.
Well, how about that horse with that boy on it? That video you have of that horse, that beautiful horse.
Yeah, if you were to go purchase a horse like him, he would cost around $50,000 right now.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And your horse, I don't know if you're, are you still doing, what is it, Census? What's the name of the horse you ride and show up?
Well, the one that you're talking about, his name is No Sense Walkin.
No Sense
Walkin. Yep, and he's an older gelding. He's known as a bridle horse, which is you have to show him one-handed, and which means that he's more finished. There's some other videos on my Facebook page of me showing a horse on a snaffle bit, which is I can show them with two hands.
Yeah.
And so they're a little bit younger. They can still do the maneuvers, but they're not maybe quite as solid in them. So the rules are a little bit more free that you can show a younger horse and, can guide them a little bit more.
Why would it be good for women or girls to get into riding?
Well, for me, they're my best friends. I mean, I love horses and they're, they really, yes. I feel like women can have a little bit of a extra special connection with horses.
For my girls, like they were so busy with everything and enjoyed the horses and doing things on the land, everything, that they really, a lot of their friends in school that were, they'd get kind of bored and it was all about boys, right? Mm-hmm. And unless they were really involved in a lot of stuff, but, or got into bad things. You know, my kids never did that. They were just so confident, and they were doing incredible things and loved the horses.
Yeah.
And the horses would, I mean, our horses, I think, were in some ways like pets, in that they would, you know, we'd let them out and they'd go around and eat the fruit from the trees and stuff. And they would follow you around or lay down beside you.
Yep.
My daughter would read out in the meadow, and Casey, the Connemara, would come lay beside her. Mm-hmm. It was just wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, there's really a special relationship that any person can have with a horse, men or women. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they have such a response to what you're feeling. They feel energy and emotion, and, you know, you learning to kind of speak to them and connect with them, it's a really special thing. And then for horses in the wild, they're considered a flight animal. So they're a herd animal that, you know, they're used to being in a group, and, you know, they're not a predator. So, you know, to have someone on their back, they're trusting you, and then to be willing to let you guide them and, you know, show them where you want them to go is a lot of submission on their part, and it becomes a team thing, and they're giving themselves to you just like you are to them, and it's just a really special partnership, for sure.
Like the animated movie Spirit.
Spirit is one of my favorites.
My favorites, too. Yeah, yes. That looked like the Connemara we had. But it's true. He had to gain Spirit's trust.
Yep.
And then it became, Spirit had to gain his trust, you know. Mm-hmm. And the two of them together was a really cool story. If you haven't seen that, you need to have your kids watch. Yeah, you need to watch that, right? Yes. Well, I was asking about girls and women, because I know boys, they're braver, and they tend to be, you know, also all of them. And so a lot of people think of boys riding.
Mm-hmm.
But for you and your sister, so how many siblings do you have?
I have three sisters.
Three
sisters. Oh, yep. And we're all into the horses. My oldest sister, she rides when she comes home sometimes, but she lives in New York now. But she was a rodeo queen in Red River back in New Mexico. But my other two sisters have horses full time, and they breed them and ride them. And then I have a few nieces and nephews that show or compete in youth rodeo. So
I saw a picture of you with. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was all your siblings. There were like five kids all sitting beside each other on a horse, right? All up on top.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there was one boy, I think.
Yep, that was my friend Paul.
And then all your sisters?
No, that was a friend of ours. I was homeschooled for a long time, and so they were in our homeschool group and have been family friends for a really long time. Yeah.
Well, and gosh, it's wonderful to ride and have friends that ride, and you can ride together.
Yeah, we just, like, us, like, in that picture, we would just... You know, just horses were completely our life from the beginning, and I've had great friends all throughout my life that, you know, I mean, my friends are horses, and they're also horse people, you know, it's just a great group of people that, you know, we all kind of share a similar passion, and, you know, they've been such a huge part of my life for sure.
Wow. Well, and I noticed that we were talking on break about some quotes you had on your Facebook, and you didn't know what I was talking about. Maybe they're on your Instagram, but it was clear that you gave your life to the Lord, that you're a Christian, and that you try to live for Him in your writing. Would you say that in what you do?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, before I go in to show every time, I'm just like, you know, Lord, ride with me. And, you know, we all need that in life, whether it's in the show pen or, you know, in daily life. I mean, He's always there to strengthen us, and, you know, He never said it'd be easy, but he said that He'd be there with us, and He'd help strengthen us. So I always ask Him for, you know, strength, whether it's, you know, in a victory or a defeat, and to accept the things that I'm disappointed about, and, you know, to drive ahead towards the prize. So.
And not be afraid.
Yeah.
Because you don't seem, even when I saw you, because when we were at Starbucks that day, we were sitting outside, you know, and everybody inside had masks, and they were all, a lot of people were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. You weren't. That wasn't you. You were just so, I don't know. Everything about you exuded confidence when you came in and you left, and it was just, life just goes on, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I saw that in you, and that's usually, I don't know why it is, but somehow I knew you were a Christian.
Yeah.
And also, it's hard to not not being when you're out on the land and you see the beauty of the land
yep.
and God's creation, you know, it pulls you closer to Him.
For sure. And so absolutely.
I find that people that have land and work land, they usually are.
Yep.
Instead of getting caught up in the city. And I can see why sometimes in the city you might get lost, right, in that, in your yeah. life. But so I thought that was really cool. But I usually, too, the more you truly live it, you're not afraid. You know that God's got you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you.
Yep.
And it's and there's not a lot of fear there. And people are really afraid.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, things in the world seem to be getting back to normal. At least they were.
Yeah.
So for you, you're definitely a risk taker. When you see you riding, cutting these cattle, and I couldn't even believe how fast you were going.
Yeah.
The turning and the dirt flying up. And
sure.
You definitely can ride. Your horse leaning like almost to the ground. And it's just like, oh my goodness, right? Like, yeah, I thought I could ride. And then my kids also took English.
Yeah.
And so they got to the point they could just ride bareback. And it's amazing how strong their legs were.
Yeah.
And their balance and everything. And I think English brought that balance more to them. So I'd always ridden Western with a saddle, and I could ride without a saddle, but nothing like my kids could ride.
Yep.
And then just hop on and go.
Sure.
A little whatever. It wouldn't always be the reins. They mm-hmm. definitely wouldn't worry about a bit. They just put something on, jump on and go.
Yep.
And I could see you doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Just super brave. I mean, I would think one of the things that it brought you was confidence and not to be afraid. And I know you fell off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
But you always got back on.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of the cowboy code things, you know. That's you get bucked off, you get back on, and it's a great thing, way to live your life, you know. If failures arise, you just dust yourself off and move forward, and, you know, that's part of being a strong human being, and just knowing that, you know, I just got to keep pushing forward, so.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, that's one of the things you learn riding horses.
Yeah,
and it can absolutely. Come from any sport as a team or whatever when you lose.
Yeah.
Learning to lose. And it's okay, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You're going to fall off sometimes.
Yep.
And with my kids, you know, I was like, I don't want them to fall off as much, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't want them to fall off much. And I had fallen off quite a bit as a kid, not, you know, but more than I ever would have wanted my kids to fall off. And it's funny, the first time they were just turning and the horse was, you know, and they just kind of went, rolled, popped back up.
I'm yeah.
Like, look at that. Like, I do remember the last time I fell off, though. It hurt a little more,
yeah.
you know, than I used to.
Yeah.
It kind of caught me, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get back on. Right.
Yeah.
But I do believe that it brings a lot of confidence and then also learning about life. So it's great for business.
Yeah.
You know, that you learn how to really maneuver life. There's ups, there's downs, people, you know, you learn how to get along with people. If you can, you know, horses can be incredibly stubborn.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
So learning how to not force your way with them. I mean, part of it is if you try to lift their hoof and they don't want you to, you know, lift their foot, how do you do it gently? Well, they'll lift it for you. Things like that. You know, working as a team, it's amazing teamwork.
Yeah, and I mean, you just start with the small stuff and you reward small responses, and, you know, you say, hey, good job, and then you build from there. It's just like, you know, starting with your ABCs, you start ABC, and hey, yeah, you did great. And it's the same with a horse. You got to pick up their foot and say they want to leave it down. You just kind of encourage them to pick it up, and as soon as they just pick it up, even if they put it right back down, you just say, hey, good job, for just a second, and then you just approach it again.
More praise than consequences, right?
Yep, yeah. For sure.
Working with anyone, that's part of learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The value of rewards.
Yeah.
So when we get back, we will hear more. I want to hear what the future holds for you. Stay right here. I'm telling you. I'm just so grateful that we had that opportunity with the kids. And my kids, you know, like, they say now, because they got cut in college and, well, you know, a lot of college stuff. And then their career, and they wouldn't come ride too much. And I thought, of course, especially the English jumping horse, the show horse.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't want to, like, I'm like, we're going to have to sell those. Mom, that's members of our family. And I went, not for $9,000. I mean, they need to be ridden. They're begging to be ridden. They come up. And I said, and these horses have been trained. And so finding a place for them, but, you know, eventually they were like, wow, They didn't realize what they had.
Yeah.
And they're like, Mom, we're so sorry because we just didn't realize. We didn't realize all that we had. And you growing up, you grew up on acreage.
Yeah.
And so you can take that for granted and not realize how wonderful it is.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would love to know what the future holds for you.
Oh, thank you.
Are you scared or are you brave? Like, where are you right now? I mean, has it changed the way you see things right now with what you're going to be doing in the future?
No, I mean, you know, I will say I'm not scared of anything, so I can't say that I'm really scared.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's a process. It's just like, you know, anything. It just kind of either you get your big break, and I've had some really good horses, you know, I have. But yeah, I just, you know, it's kind of part of a lifestyle, and you just keep pushing ahead and, you know, hope that you get another great horse that, you know, you can go and compete on and be really competitive on. So I have a really cool one right now named Cricket that I'm showing. That's the one I'm showing in Fort Worth. And, you know, I've got the William horse that the little kid is in the video on. And I'm going to continue to show him this year.
I thought maybe you sold him.
I didn't.
I'm so good.
I love him.
Beautiful. But I know you like to. Oh, you want to keep. That's well, what I was so wondering about that, that you would have trouble, you know. Selling them.
Well, it would definitely be an emotional thing, but I mostly put him in that sale to promote myself, you know, because he was one of the higher end horses in that sale. So I'm just kind of trying to get my name out there a little bit more, and yeah.
I don't know. He hasn't said anything. Sounds like my music, but they do advertise my show too. So he's got his sunglasses on. You had some cool sunglasses on right there. I saw you.
Oh super yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah,
probably have them.
I have a picture. I'll show you a picture of you. Okay. 30. Thank you. Thank you.
As soon as I get back on, Ashley's downstairs, so I gotta hightail it down there to go get her. But
okay, so you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here we go. All singing.
All the time. Now back to Ann Beal.
Welcome back. We had fun on the break. Chris cracks me up. You were telling me about your future, and you've got a new horse and all this kind of stuff. It's really, really cool. So share with us your new horse.
I have a horse named New Vets on Black. I've had him for about 2 years. He was started by me as a 2-year-old, and that's part of what I do. We'll get young prospects, and in what I show them in, like, it's a 2-year training program. It's 2 years of training before they can get shown, and yeah, I have a derby coming up here in Fort Worth in February, and he'll be shown there.
It's called a derby.
It's a derby now. He's four. And so he'll be shown in the derby his 4- and 5-year-old year.
Why they call it a derby?
You know, I don't know. I think it kind of started with the race horses.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And because that's pretty much the oldest sport that has age divisions with horses.
Oh, okay.
So the futurity year is 3-year-olds, and then the derby year is 4- and 5-year-olds.
Okay.
But with racehorses, I'm pretty sure the futurity year is 2-year-olds, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not very well versed in the racing, but it's a title for different age divisions for horses. It's the futurity and derbies.
You have a horse named Cricket.
His name's Cricket.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because all the horses you're showing that I've seen on your Instagram.
Yeah.
You guys got to go to her Instagram, Sarah Taylor Murphy. And then your Facebook is the same thing. Is it Sarah Taylor Murphy?
Yep. And it's Sarah with an H, and then Taylor and Murphy with Murphy.
Thank you.
So,
for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have to spell it with the EY. But if you type Sarah Taylor Murphy, it'll probably come up regardless. I would
think. Thank goodness you have the middle name.
Yeah.
Right? Sarah Murphy, there's probably tons of them, right? Yeah. Well, and Cricket, they're all like no sense walking. They've all got these names. Like our KC, he was Kahlua and Cream of Glenfieri or something like that. You know, so we just called him KC.
Yeah.
They're these fancy names, right?
Sure.
And then you go, well, Cricket.
Yeah.
Is that the nickname or is that the show name?
That's his nickname. His show name is New Vets on Black.
New bets.
Like betting
new
on bets black. On. Yeah.
So what color is he?
He's black.
Ooh,
yeah. He's very pretty. Beautiful.
Is he a quarter horse?
He is. Yeah.
A black quarter horse.
Yeah. He's right. Gorgeous.
Wow.
He's got a big mane and yeah, mm-hmm. He's very, very beautiful for sure.
So that's exciting. So you're always looking for a really good new horse to show.
Yeah.
But one, how many do you need? At one time. I mean, when you have them, they have to keep you pretty busy.
Yeah, they do keep me busy. And I run a smaller business. It's just me. So
what's the name of your business?
It's just Sarah Taylor Murphy.
Sarah Taylor Murphy.
I'm just private.
Branding. Sarah Taylor Murphy. Sarah Taylor Murphy. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's just me.
That's what she said. Yeah, it's just, I like, some people have a lot of horses in their barn and, you know, they have employees riding them as well. But I choose to just ride all my own myself. So, you know, I can only ride so many a day. But, you're always looking for, you know, the next prospect. And like I said, they get started as 2-year-olds. And so, you know, some of them won't make it all the way to the pros per se, which is, you know, the fraternities and the derbies. They're, you know, maybe just aren't quite talented enough for the job. So they'll go on and, you know, be rope horses or ranch horses, or, you know, if they're not show horses, there's still other jobs that are great for them, like family horses, just riding horses, and yeah.
So the picture of you that I saw in this hat, when you put this hat on, I thought, well, there's a movie with you in it, and you have this hat on.
Yeah.
And so can we see the movie? Is the movie out?
So,
is there a documentary?
There was a documentary called Down the Fence.
Down the Fence.
Yeah.
.com or Down the Fence.
Yeah, I think it is .com or .com.
Go see it.
It came out a few years ago, and it showcased Rain Cowboys trainers.
And mostly men, and then a few women.
Yeah, a few women. I wasn't one of the title people in it. Aaron Tremino was the main person that they kind of followed throughout mm-hmm. the documentary. And, yeah, she's a Rain Cowhorse trainer as well. She actually lives right next door to me, but she's a great hand in the cowhorse and has done really well for herself. So, but there's some really amazing women. Sarah Dawson, Annie Reynolds. There's some great non-pros. Debbie Crafton, Abby Phillips. I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, the group of people that are involved in the horses is...
So the movie is about them, per se?
Yeah, the movie is just about, it's kind of just showcasing the NRCHA, or just the whole event as a whole, and kind of goes through the struggles of, you know, competing and the highs and lows of it. It follows a guy in Utah named Brandon Butters. Him and his wife Sophie Butters run a ranch out there in Utah, and they train rain cow horses and do some rodeo stuff. Their kids do rodeo stuff, but... yeah, they follow him, and then they follow a guy named Doug Williamson, who is, I think he's 80 now, and wow. He still competes in the cow horse. Yeah, he's amazing. Exciting. And
well, so you have a lot of exciting stuff that you take part in all the time.
Oh, yes.
And I want people to know that that's one of the exciting things about living in Texas, especially Fort Worth area, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much, kind of a vast world that people don't see every day mm-hmm. that is just incredible. And I know the more that people buy land, they'll see that. Thank you, Sarah Taylor Murphy, for taking time to come here. You just got back from New Mexico. You're heading down to the show in February down in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
But you gave us time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just join us next week for Getting Better, and keep getting better every time.
Wow.